Chapter 26. Fact, he a guest. It is clear to me that Peter Ivanovich, for some reason or other, had refrained from alluding to these ladies' presence in Geneva. But Razumov a guest. The trustful girl. Every word uttered by Alden lived in Razumov's memory. They were like haunting shapes. They could not be exorcised. The most vivid amongst them was the mention of the sister. The girl had existed for him ever since. But he did not recognize her at once. Coming up with Peter Ivanovich, he did observe her. Their eyes had met, even. He had responded, as no one could help responding, to the harmonious charm of her whole person, its strength, its grace, its tranquil frankness, and then he had turned his gaze away. He said to himself that all this was not for him. The beauty of women and the friendship of men were not for him. He accepted that feeling with a purposeful sternness, and tried to pass on. It was only her outstretched hand which brought about the recognition. It stands recorded in the pages of his self-confession, that it nearly suffocated him physically with an emotional reaction of hate and dismay, as though her appearance had been a piece of accomplished treachery. He faced about. The considerable elevation of the terrace concealed them from anyone lingering in the doorway of the house, and even from the upstairs windows they could not have been seen. Through the thickets run wild, and the trees of the gently sloping grounds, he had cold, placid glimpses of the lake. A moment of perfect privacy had been vouchsafed to them at this juncture. I wondered to myself what use they had made of that fortunate circumstance. Did you have time for more than a few words? I asked. That animation with which she had related to me the incidents of her visit to the Chateau Borel had left her completely. Strolling by my side, she looked straight before her, but I noticed a little color on her cheek. She did not answer me. After some little time I observed that they could not have hoped to remain forgotten for very long, unless the other two had discovered Madame de S. swooning with fatigue, perhaps, or in a state of morbid exaltation after the long interview. Either would require their devoted ministrations. I could depict to myself Peter Ivanovich rushing busily out of the house again, bareheaded, perhaps, and on across the terrace with his swinging gait, the black skirts of the frock coat floating clear of his stout light gray legs. I confess to having looked upon these young people as the quarry of the heroic fugitive. I had the notion that they would not be allowed to escape capture. But of that I said nothing to Miss Alden, only as she still remained uncommunicative, I pressed her a little. Well, but you can tell me at least your impression. She turned her head to look at me, and turned away again. Impression? She repeated slowly, almost dreamily. Then in a quicker tone, he seems to be a man who has suffered more from his thoughts than from evil fortune. From his thoughts, you say? And that is natural enough in a Russian, she took me up. In a young Russian, so many of them are unfit for action, and yet unable to rest. And you think he is that sort of man? No, I do not judge him. How could I, so suddenly? You asked for my impression, I explain my impression. I don't know the world, nor yet the people in it. I have been too solitary, I am too young to trust my own opinions. Trust your instinct, I advised her. Us women trust to that, and make no worse mistakes than men. In this case you have your brother's letter to help you, she drew a deep breath like a light sigh. Unstained, lofty, and solitary existences, she quoted as if to herself. But I caught the wistful murmur distinctly. High praise, I whispered to her. The highest possible. So high that, like the award of happiness, it is more fit to come only at the end of a life. But still no common, or altogether unworthy personality could have suggested such a confident exaggeration of praise and... ... She interrupted me ardently. And if you had only known the heart from which that judgment has come. She ceased on that note, and for a space I reflected on the character of the words which I perceived very well must tip the scale of the girl's feelings in that young man's favor. They had not the sound of a casual utterance. Vague they were to my Western mind, and to my Western sentiment, but I could not forget that, standing by Miss Alden's side, I was like a traveler in a strange country. It had also become clear to me that Miss Alden was unwilling to enter into the details of the only material part of their visit to the Chateau Borel. But I was not hurt. Somehow I didn't feel it to be a want of confidence. It was some other difficulty, a difficulty I could not resent. And it was without the slightest resentment that I said, "Very well. But on that high ground, which I will not dispute, you, like anyone else in such circumstances, you must have made for yourself a representation of that exceptional friend, a mental image of him, and please tell me you were not disappointed? What do you mean? His personal appearance? I don't mean precisely his good looks, or otherwise." We turned at the end of the alley, and made a few steps without looking at each other. "His appearance is not ordinary," said Miss Alden at last. "No, I should have thought, not from the little you've said of your first impression. After all, one has to fall back on that word. Impression. What I mean, is that something indescribable which is likely to mark a not ordinary person." I perceived that she was not listening. There was no mistaking her expression. And once more I had the sense of being out of it, not because of my age, which at any rate, could draw inferences, but altogether out of it, on another plane whence I could only watch her from afar. And so ceasing to speak I watched her stepping out by my side. "No," she exclaimed suddenly, "I could not have been disappointed with a man of such strong feeling." "Aha! Strong feeling," I muttered, thinking to myself censoriously. "Like this, at once, all in a moment." "What did you say?" inquired Miss Alden innocently. "Oh, nothing. I beg your pardon. Strong feeling. I am not surprised. And you don't know how abruptly I behaved to him," she cried remorsefully. I suppose I must have appeared surprised, for, looking at me with a still more heightened color, she said she was ashamed to admit that as he had not been sufficiently collected. As he had failed to control her words and actions as the situation demanded. She lost the fortitude worthy of both the men, the dead and the living, the fortitude which should have been the note of the meeting of Victor Alden's sister with Victor Alden's only known friend. He was looking at her keenly, but said nothing, and she confessed painfully affected by his want of comprehension. All she could say was, "You are Mr. Razumov." A slight frown passed over his forehead. After a short, watchful pause, he made a little bow of assent, and waited. At the thought, that as he had before her the man so highly regarded by her brother, the man who had known his value, spoken to him, understood him, had listened to his confidences, perhaps had encouraged him, her lips trembled, her eyes ran full of tears. She put out her hand, made a step towards him impulsively, saying with an effort to restrain her emotion, "Can you guess who I am?" He did not take the proffered hand. He even recoiled a pace, and Miss Alden imagined that he was unpleasantly affected. Miss Alden excused him, directing her displeasure at herself. As he had behaved unworthily, like an emotional French girl. A manifestation of that kind could not be welcomed by a man of stern, self-contained character. He must have been stern indeed, or perhaps very timid with women, not to respond in a more human way to the advances of a girl like Nathalie Alden, I thought to myself. Those lofty and solitary existences, I remembered the words suddenly, make a young man shy, and an old man savage often. Well, I encouraged Miss Alden to proceed. She was still very dissatisfied with herself. "I went from bad to worse," she said, with an air of discouragement very foreign to her. "Did everything foolish except actually bursting into tears. I am thankful to say I did not do that. But I was unable to speak for quite a long time." As he had stood before him, speechless, swallowing her sobs, and when she managed at last to utter something, it was only her brother's name, Victor Alden, she gasped out, and again her voice failed her. Of course, she commented to me, this distressed him. He was quite overcome. I have told you my opinion, that he is a man of deep feeling, it is impossible to doubt it. You should have seen his face. He positively reeled. He leaned against the wall of the terrace. Their friendship must have been the very brotherhood of souls. I was grateful to him for that emotion, which made me feel less ashamed of my own lack of self-control. Of course I had regained the power of speech at once, almost. All this lasted not more than a few seconds. I am his sister, apostrophe I said. Maybe you have heard of me. Apostrophe, Aunt Addie? I interrupted. I don't know. How could it have been otherwise? And yet. But what does that matter? I stood there before him, near enough to be touched, and surely not looking like an imposter. All I know is, that he put out both his hands then to me, I may say flung them out at me, with the greatest readiness and warmth, and that I seized and pressed them, feeling that I was finding again a little of what I thought was lost to me forever, with the loss of my brother some of that hope, inspiration, and support which I used to get from my dear dead. I understood quite well what she meant. We strolled on slowly. I refrained from looking at her. And it was as if answering my own thoughts, that I murmured, no doubt it was a great friendship as you say. And that young man ended by welcoming your name, so to speak, with both hands. After that, of course, you would understand each other. Yes, you would understand each other quickly. It was a moment before I heard her voice. Mr. Razumov seems to be a man of few words. A reserved man even when he is strongly moved. Unable to forget, or even to forgive the base-toned expansiveness of Peter Ivanovich, the arch-patron of revolutionary parties, I said that I took this for a favorable trait of character. It was associated with sincerity in my mind. Gutenberg Edition. End of chapter.